Great. It is very nice to be here. Is that switched on? Can you hear me? Or not? I'll just keep talking for a few moments. I might not have even switched. No, you are. I'm on. Good. Song of Songs. 4 weeks in biblical erotic love poetry. Pretty exciting, isn't it? If you're looking forward to getting into Song of Songs, getting into that erotic love poetry, the bad news is that we're going to leave actually opening up Song of Songs for itself until next week. So you can ask your money back on this week's entry fee. Next week is when we dig into Song of Songs itself. This week, a bit of an introduction. And for that, you'll need one of these pieces of paper you were given when you came in. The one entitled Song of Songs, Wired for Intimacy, is an outline of our introduction to this book and to the big theme of this book this afternoon. As we start, I want you to think of a young child, a baby that you know. I want you to picture them in your mind. What do they need to thrive as a human being? What do they need to survive on this planet? What do they need to be happy as a human being as they grow up? A few basic things we can think of, aren't there? We can think of a food and a shelter. And of warmth. They're going to need those things if they're to grow up, if they're to survive, if they're to thrive. But today I want us to think about another thing that they're going to need at every stage of their human life. Intimacy. Intimacy. What are we talking about when we're talking about intimacy? We've got a working definition on your service, on those handouts, from the theologian Elaine Storkey. She defines intimacy in this way. It's the sharing of closeness, of bonding, of reciprocation. It's the engulfing of warmth and care. It is the experiencing of another. That's what intimacy is. And Song of Songs is going to teach us that we all need intimacy. That we've all been wired for intimacy by the God who created us. Let's think of some of the evidence for that in the world around us. Some of us will remember those haunting photos in the early 1990s of Romanian orphans. Romanian orphans who had been provided with a degree of food and of shelter and warmth by the Romanian state. But also, tragically, babies and young children who have been deprived of intimacy. Can you remember those photos? The blank stares of these children just sitting in cots who had never experienced what Elaine Storkey talks about. The sharing of closeness, of bonding, of reciprocation. They'd never been engulfed in warmth and care. It is tragic when any human being at any stage of their life is denied intimacy because we were created to need it. We were created for it. And the lack of it is responsible for so many of the social problems society is dealing with today. So many of the mental health issues that are prevalent in this country today have their roots in a lack of intimacy. To take just one example, we could take the example of addiction. The staff team have been reading over the last few weeks this book by Craig Nakin, a book called The Addictive Personality. He's not a Christian, but he's sort of trying to understand why people become addicts, why people become addicted to a whole number of things. And early on, this is how he defines addiction. Addiction is an emotional relationship with an object or event through which addicts try to meet their needs for intimacy. So if you want to explain why people become addicted to things, it's because of their need for intimacy. And that should not surprise anybody that reads the Bible. That's not going to surprise any of us as we read through Song of Songs, but we don't in some ways need to turn to Song of Songs to get the point that we're all created for intimacy, because it's clear, isn't it, right from the beginning of the Bible that you and I were wired for intimacy. Look at that passage from Genesis 1 to demonstrate this, to help us see this for ourselves. Right at the beginning of the world, our triune God, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who had themselves experienced intimacy for all of time, created us to enjoy intimacy too. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." From that opening passage, that opening section of the Bible, we could get this truth. That we were created to enjoy intimacy first and foremost with the Creator God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Being created in his image, down there in verse 27, is all about us enjoying an intimate relationship with him. The picture here is of a father-child relationship, of a relationship that is that close, that is enjoyed by every human being because we have been created in the image of God. We have been created for a father-child relationship. The whole definition of what it means to be in the image of God is like father, like son, like father, like child. We've been created to relate to God and to rule for him. And that nature of the sort of intimate relationship we have with God, or we've been created to have with God, is spun out, isn't it, again and again in the rest of the Bible. It's here in this language of image of God, but it's also there in Deuteronomy, for instance. Deuteronomy chapter 1, God compares himself to a father who has lifted up the people of Israel and carried them through the desert. When we go to the New Testament, we come to one of the most famous of Jesus' parables. And what do we meet? Who do we meet? We meet a father running to meet his prodigal son. When Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, what does he say? What intimate relationship does he invite them in? He invites them into a relationship in which they can say to the Creator God of the universe, "Abba, Father." We have been created to experience an intimate relationship with our Creator. It's clear right from page one of the Bible. I'm going to see it's clear right to the very end page as well. But we haven't just been created for intimacy with him. We've also been created for intimacy with other human beings, with other people. We get that when we turn to Genesis chapter 2, the second passage from Genesis on those handouts. The Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." A few verses on. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man. And he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." We're told here by God himself that an intimate relationship with him is not enough. It is not good for man to be alone. We need intimacy with other human beings too. And obviously the focus here in Genesis chapter 2 is on one particular intimate relationship, the very first intimate relationship between a man and a woman, the very first sexual relationship, the very first marriage between Adam and Eve. But our needs for intimacy as human beings are not just met by that sort of relationship. They're met by all the other sort of relationships that first relationship makes possible. The relationships between a parent and child, the relationship between siblings, the relationship between other family members, the wonderful intimate relationship that friendship should be, that community should be. All of these made possible by this first intimate human relationship, right at the beginning of the Bible, right here in Genesis chapter 2. It is not good for any of us to have to live our lives alone. Because the God who created us for intimacy with other human beings too. We were created to enjoy intimacy with God. We are created to enjoy intimacy with people. We're also, though, created to enjoy intimacy with place. God has put us in a place, a physical place, a world that he created. Look back at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. God blessed them, that's the first human beings, and he said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." We have been put by God in a physical, in a material world. That is our home. And God has given us the responsibility of looking after that place and looking after that home. We have been given the earth and everything in it. There's an Australian theologian called Graham Goldsworthy who summarized the whole message of the Bible, the whole story of the Bible, in these terms. He says it's all about God's people being in God's place under God's rule and blessing. He says that every stage of the Bible, that is what God is wanting to do. He's wanting his people to live in his place and to enjoy a relationship with him. He's wanting us to enjoy intimacy with our Creator. He's wanting us to enjoy intimacy with other creatures. He's wanting us to enjoy intimacy with his creation. Those are the conditions in which people like you and me will most thrive, because we have been, right from the beginning of time, we have been wired for intimacy. We haven't just been wired for intimacy in the past. We haven't just been created for intimacy. We've also incredibly been destined for intimacy too. We've heard, haven't we, just in Genesis 1 and 2, where the world started. When we turn to where the world is heading, when we turn to where the world is going to end, we find that it's full of promises, of pictures of intimacy too. So let's go right to the end of the Bible. Let's go to Revelation 21. Let's go to the vision the Apostle John is given as to where all human history is flowing. And let's read these famous words. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who is seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" Right at the end of the Bible, you and I are told that we are destined. We are destined for an intimate relationship with God. Look down at verse 3. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among his people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.'" Tragically, the story of the Bible between Genesis and Revelation is that not being the case. But one day we will enjoy full and uninterrupted intimacy with the God who created us. And then just look on to verse 4 and grasp for a moment how intimate our relationship with him will be. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. One of the most intimate things you can do for anybody is just wipe the tears away from their eyes. Have you done that for a baby, for a child? Just wipe the tears away from their eyes. Have you done that for an adult in a time of mourning or crying or pain? Just physically, just wipe the tears away from their eyes. It's an incredibly intimate thing to do, isn't it? We're told here in verse 4 that the Creator God of the universe will personally do that for you. He will personally do that for me. That is how intimate a relationship we are destined to enjoy with him. He will come and he will wipe your tears. He will wipe my tears away. And I hope you notice that in this passage, the sort of intimacy that God's talking about is a greater intimacy than is talked about right at the beginning of the Bible. Right at the beginning of the Bible, the image of God language is father-child language. But by the time we've got to the end of the Bible, the relationship we're told we will enjoy with God in Christ is the most intimate relationship of all. It is compared to the intimate relationship between a man and a woman. It is described, it is portrayed, isn't it, as a marriage. Verse 2, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. One day, God's people will enjoy the most intimate of all relationships with God in Christ, the most wonderful of all marriages. We will be united forever to him. That is the intimacy we were destined to experience. That degree of intimacy with a God who has created all things. We're also, though, destined not just to enjoy a relationship with him. That sounds good enough. But we're also destined to enjoy a relationship with other people, too. I hope you notice that this relationship at the end of time isn't all about me on my own and God in Christ. It's about all of us. It's about all God's people from all tribes, all places, all nations enjoying that intimate relationship with Christ. Verse 3 is all about God's people dwelling with God. God being with us as a community, not any of us, as it were, all by ourselves. So one of the great joys of the new creation will be that perfect relationship with God in Christ, but also perfect relationships with the other people in this room. Perfect relationship with all God's people from all times and places. That is the intimacy we were created to experience. That is the intimacy we're destined to experience. And it's not just with God, it's not just with people. I hope you notice that again, it's with place. Look down at verse 1 of Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among his people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Thankfully, we are not destined to float about in the clouds for all of eternity, in some sort of geographical no man's land where nothing is real. Instead, we are destined to spend eternity in the new heavens and the new earth, a new, greater, more wonderful physical reality. we will be in the most wonderful place that there ever has been, that there ever will be. This world is just, it's just the shadowlands of the great, beautiful, wonderful reality that we will be perfectly at home in, perfectly intimate with, for all time, with Jesus. The beginning of the Bible tells us that we are created to enjoy intimacy. The end of the Bible tells us that we were destined to enjoy intimacy. That is why we can say today that we have been wired for intimacy. We need it if we're to thrive, if we're to grow, if we're to be happy as human beings. And we know that, don't we? Because without it, everything is in a mess. So much of the mess in the world around us, so much of the mess inside this building today, so much of the mess in my heart and your heart is because we are not experiencing that intimacy, the intimacy we were created to enjoy. Without this intimacy with God, we are restless, aren't we? Constantly looking for the new thing to sort of fill the gap in our lives. The early church leader, Augustine, was somebody who, like you and me, was wired for intimacy. Where did he try and find it? In sexual relationship after sexual relationship after sexual relationship. He was on a search for intimacy. When did he find it? Well, he found it when he began an intimate relationship with the God who had created him. With the God who in Jesus had redeemed him. And this is just a reflection after he'd found intimacy with God in Christ. You have made us from yourself, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. Any human being will be restless until we rest our hearts in God in Christ. Because most fundamentally of all, you and I were created for an intimate relationship with Him. We will find lasting intimacy nowhere else. Without this intimacy with God, we are restless. Without this intimacy with other people, we're lonely. And we've got to say, haven't we, that there is an epidemic of loneliness in society today. It is one of the major issues facing the UK today, the levels of loneliness amongst people in every part of society, every income bracket, every age and stage. And we need to recognize with Melinda Selmis that loneliness is not simply a matter of being alone. It is a matter of being unknown. The unshakable desire of the human heart is to know and be known. There are many lonely people who are surrounded by crowds of people and who do not look alone, but are paralyzed by loneliness because nobody really knows them. There'll be people in this room who have got hundreds of friends on Facebook, but nobody who really knows you. Hundreds of people following your every tweet, but nobody who really asks you, how are you? We are created for intimacy with other people, and so many of us have not got that intimacy with other people, do not experience it, and feel alone as a result. And that accounts for the mess. That accounts for the addictions. That accounts for so many of the problems in the world outside and the world in here. As does our lack of intimacy with place. The fact that so many of us are, if we're honest, quite rootless today. I wonder what you make of the question, or how you respond to the question, where do you come from? For many of us, it's a really hard question to answer, isn't it? I think I've lived in about 7 or 8 places. Where I was born, I only lived for 8 years. It's now about 20, 25 years since I lived there. Where do I come from? Where is home? One of the problems we seem to have in society today is a feeling of rootlessness, no longer having a strong sense of place, of this is where I belong. And a lot of people in the world around us have woken up to the fact that this is a problem. Simone Weil, who was a French philosopher, writing in the 1940s, writing when she was in exile from France, which was under Nazi rule, wrote this: "To be rooted is perhaps the most important and least recognized need of the human soul." The Bible, I think, would back that up. We were created to be in God's place. We were created to feel at home. We are created to put down roots. And when that doesn't happen, things go wrong. A lot of mental health professionals saying that actually one of the problems we've got in society today is that people put themselves through too much change. And in particular, change of home and place again and again and again, which short circuits us after a while. Because we've been wired for intimacy with God, with people, but also with place. So what needs to happen if that's true? Well, my knowledge of electronics isn't very good, but I think when short circuits go, when fuses go, when things are bad in that way, you need to do a bit of rewiring. You need to do some reconnecting. And I think we need reconnecting to an intimate relationship with God in Christ. We need reconnecting to our need for intimacy with other people. We need to reestablish our need to be rooted, to be intimate with place. And that is why we're going to spend the next few weeks in the erotic love poetry that is the Song of Songs. Because as a Bible book, it is all about intimacy. And it is all about intimacy with God. And it is all about intimacy with other people. And it is all about intimacy with place. And so if we are to regain the intimacy we are created for, if we are to rewire ourselves, or more accurately, if we are going to allow God to rewire us, we need to spend some time in this book. And so what we're going to do over the next 3 weeks is we're going to spend 1 week thinking about what a chunk of Song of Songs teaches us about our intimate relationship with God and what's possible. We're going to look at the same chunk and we're going to see how it helps us to see how we can have an intimate relationship with another, with other people. And then we're going to turn to that chunk for the third time and find out how we can and should experience an intimate relationship with place. If you look at your life today and you think, yeah, I need more of this intimacy. If your heart is crying out for a sense of closeness, of bonding, of reciprocation, if you want to be engulfed in warmth and care, if you want to experience the love of another, Song of Songs is going to be the place for you. It was written for you. It was written to take those God-given desires for intimacy and connect them in the right ways with God, with people, and with place. So please come back for more. Let me pray for us. Our dear Father God, we thank you that Oh, we just thank you that you've helped us to see that we need rewiring. That we need to better experience intimacy with you. better experience intimacy with other people, best experience intimacy with this place, with this world you've given us. We pray that you would use Song of Songs in each of our lives to connect us again with what you have got to say about our God-given need for intimacy. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We had about a gazillion questions. I only got time for some representative ones. So, Ed, just bullet point headlines, please. A lot of people asking questions along these lines. And they're asking, what about the curse? That's to say, doesn't Genesis teach that our relationship with people and with place and with God has all gone wrong because of sin? So what sort of expectations should we have in this whole area of intimacy with God and people and place if we live in a world that's fallen and cursed?
I think as God's redeemed people, we should have a higher expectation of intimacy than we perhaps have. But obviously, we will not have a full experience of the intimacy we were created to desire and experience until the new heavens and the new earth. I'm going to think quite a lot in the Song of Series of what that feels like, and that the sort of the pain it causes to have been created for intimacy, but to never, as it were, quite experience intimacy in its full form in the here and now. And quite a bit more on that probably next week.
Question on people saying, "Well, I've lost it now. Where is it? Surely God knows us the best. Surely he's the one who helps us in loneliness, ultimately. Isn't relationship with him, intimacy with him, what we really need?"
Yeah, primarily. But let's also take what God himself says on the subject seriously. In Genesis 2, verse 18, "It is not good for the man to be alone." We need him, fundamentally, most fundamentally of all, but we have been created to need other people too. And it's good for us to remember that God himself says that down there in Genesis 2, verse 18.
Thank you. And then just finally, lots and lots of questions about place. Here's a sample. Aren't we meant to feel rootless in a way until we get to heaven? Think of the way the scriptures define us as aliens and strangers. So what is place?
Yeah, I think there's, again, a part of the human experience is to feel rootless, is to be exiles and strangers in this world, because we were created for a world, a perfect world, which we know is the world to come. But alongside that, I think we're meant to link in and connect with the creation around us much more than we do. And I think this is a skill that Christians in particular have lost in recent years. You read of people like Jonathan Edwards going out to experience God and to connect with God on nature walks and really feeling that he most got intimate with his creator God when he was intimate with God's creation and he experienced creation in all its beauty and felt and was emplaced in creation. And I think one of the things we're going to do is sort of see that the link between the creation around us and God needs to be a stronger one, and that we do need to pay a little bit more attention and perhaps spend a little bit more time in God's fantastically beautiful creation that he's put us in. And perhaps in particular, we need to feel a bit more rooted in this particular part of God's creation that he's put us in, so that we can build intimacy not just with God, not just with people, but also with place. But that's a big idea, and we're going to have fun spending
Let's
the whole
pause
week
there. Lots
on
of it. Questions, lots of reasons to come back for the rest of the series.
It's a trailer.
We're now going to turn to our God in prayer and enjoy that sort of intimacy with him, and Tim and Joe Collier are going to come and lead us.